I'm there, right? Good. All right. Well, good morning, everybody. I was gone while most of this was taking place, and to come back, the church looks awesome. Thanks for everybody pitching in and helping out on that part. I just want to start this morning, and I want to share with you there's two loves in my life. One of them sitting back there, and today she turned 32. And the other love of my life is God, Jesus Christ. And before I start, before we pray, I just pray that the Holy Spirit use me today, that the words you hear are not my words, but His words, and that we bring glory and honor to Him as we come together as a church family this morning. So I'm going to go ahead and open in prayer, and then we'll get started. Father God, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, you know my heart. You know who I am. And Father, I pray that as I share this message that you have today, Lord, that you open hearts and minds to the words that come out of my mouth. And that, Lord, that those words be heard as your words and not mine. And Lord, that you use them to accomplish your purpose in our lives as Christian men and women. So, Father, again, I just thank you for this time together and give you the glory and honor, praise in your name. Amen. So we're going to open a really big book in the Bible today. I don't know how many of you have studied the book of Philemon, but we're going to be in the book of Philemon. I think Brandon's going to put some of that back up there for me. And I'm not quite as organized as Mike, so I probably will kind of run ahead of Scripture at times, but what a tremendous letter this is that Paul has written. And I just want to share with you, most of you know all about Paul and Paul's life. He was captured by Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He was out persecuting Christian men and women in the name of God. But Jesus Christ got a hold of him. God got a hold of him. And he changed Paul's life completely. He was a wild, killing people. And he was doing it for a purpose, he thought. But now he is an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he has penned, and I'm not sure exactly on the amount, but about 70% of the New Testament is penned by Paul. This particular letter, it's not a very long letter. It's probably one of the shorter letters. Is it the shortest letter in the Bible? I believe it is. What a powerful message. The letter is short, but the message is huge. And we've been studying Philemon in Sunday school class. Some of the students, some of the people that are in my class, this is going to kind of be a retake. But I know the Holy Spirit has something different to say now, today. So I'm going to allow Him to use me today. Before I start, I just want to share a little bit about the characters that are in this small letter. There's four people that Paul mentions: Appia, Arsippius, and Onesimus, and Philemon. I did a little research to find out a little bit more, if I could, on who they are and what went on in their lives. Philemon, that he addresses the letter to, really is a wealthy Greek landowner, and he was living in Colossae. He had been converted under Paul's ministry, and he was Paul's friend and the legal owner of the slave Onesimus. Now, Appia and Arsippius, we really don't know exactly for sure, but it's assumed that Appia was possibly Paul or Philemon's wife, and Arsippius was either a son or a brother to Epaphias. So that kind of gives you a little history of where Paul's starting out here. And it's interesting also as we read this letter together that Paul normally introduces himself in most of his letter as an apostle of Jesus Christ. In this particular letter, he addresses himself or introduces himself as a prisoner for Christ Jesus. And then the letter is combined with Timothy himself. And he says, "And Timothy, our brother." So as you have it up behind me on the screen. I'm going to read some of the verses together here, stop and share a few things with you. But Paul, he starts out in verse 1, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Appia, and our sister, and Arsippius, our fellow soldier. And, he says, the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, Philemon, a wealthy Greek landowner, a slave owner, and a friend of Paul's. Paul begins the letter again by identifying himself as the prisoner for Christ. Really, in the New Living Translation, it says this, in prison for preaching the good news about Jesus Christ. And from Timothy, our brother. So he includes Timothy, that he's together with him. He says, to Philemon, beloved fellow worker, Apithia and our sister, and possibly Philemon's wife, and Arsippius, our fellow soldier, possibly Philemon's son or a brother to Apithia. In Colossians 4:17, it's interesting that Paul singles out for special attention the Arsippius. He says that I can't remember exactly how it went. I'm going to flip over there real quick. But in Colossians, he singles out Arsippius for a special ministry that is before him. Basically says this. He says in Colossians 4:17, he says, Where am I at here? I'm in Thessalonians. That's why it's not right. So I'm going to get to Colossians. Colossians 4:17. He says, and say to Arsippius, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. So apparently this person had some stature in the church along with Philemon, and Apithia also had a great role or a strong role within the church. It seems clear when we read in the verse that grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and he talks about the church in your house. It seems clear that Philemon's house was a meeting place for an assembly of believers. It's interesting, rich, poor, male, female, master or slave, members of the family of God as you and I are today. But as soon as they return, it's interesting, as soon as they return to the work of the day of the world, our social distinctions, they reappear. We are perceived by the world differently than we are together. But we should be perceived as Christians no matter where we are. But at the Lord's Supper, when we come together as Christian men and women, we are all on common level, of the holy priest. Philemon would have no precedence over Onesimus, this slave that Paul is about to introduce and talk to. And in verse 3, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, I love the song that we just sang. Grace is amazing. Grace is who we are in Christ. C.S. Lewis writes that the difference between all other religions and Christianity is grace. If it wasn't for grace, I would not be here today. Grace is powerful in our lives, and Jesus Christ freely bestows that on us as Christian men and women. Verses 4 through 7 is what I'd like to read those verses now and then share some things with you. Paul goes on in this letter. He says, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Paul addresses Philemon's character And he says that it gave him great joy to Paul, that there was great joy because of Philemon's love and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And for all the saints, and he puts a kind of that extra all for the saints in there. And I believe as we walk through this letter, we're going to see Paul approach this whole situation that he's bring forth here with Onesimus in a manner of love and in a manner of encouraging Philemon about this slave, this runaway slave that ran away from Philemon. But he says, and for all the saints. He had, Philemon, the root of divine life, and his love showed he had the fruit as well. So I say that one more time. He had the root of divine life. He had Jesus Christ in his life through the ministry of Paul. And his love had showed he had the fruit as well. As you read those verses, that all the saints and Paul himself had much joy and comfort from his love. Paul wraps the faith clause with the love clause as if to forewarn Philemon that he is about to have a special opportunity to manifest the reality of his faith by showing love to the slave, Onesimus. It's interesting. We have fruits in our lives. Do those fruits continue to come off of us in our Christian lives? I know that God is alive and in me, but do I display Christ as I walk about the world? As I said, I've been gone. I was in Alaska with my son and four other dads and four other sons. And we had an awesome time up there. But the environment's different. I was not around Christian men and women. I was around worldly men and women. How did I conduct myself? Was the fruit of Jesus Christ in my life evident to them? And I pray that it was. We had a good time, but we froze to death. It was cold. But we did catch some fish. So it was fun. But that's what Paul is talking about. He says, you know, the root of the divine life in Philemon, it's evident. And his love showed, and he had the fruit as well. His faith was productive. And Paul does wrap that clause with the love clause to forewarn Philemon that he is about to have a special opportunity to show more of those fruits as to this slave and more of that love to this slave, Onesimus. Paul then discloses really the nature of his prayer to Philemon. It's interesting, we can share our faith not only by preaching Christ, but also by feeding the hungry. We can share our faith by clothing the destitute, by comforting the bereaved, to relieving the distress, even by forgiving a runaway slave, as Paul is reaching out to Philemon. Paul prayed that Philemon's life of benevolence would lead many to acknowledge that all his good deeds came from Christ. See, all the good in me is not from me. All the good in me is from Jesus Christ, from God himself, as he works through me in my life, as he works through each and every one of us. There is tremendous power and influence in a life where the love of God is manifested. I know we've all been around someone in our Christian lives that just stands out as having the love of Christ, having an aura about themselves that just speaks Jesus Christ in everything they say and do. And it's a special thing. It influences us in a special way. And that is really where Paul is headed here with Philemon. He says, it's evident, the fruits in your life is evident. And he speaks those words, there was joy and comfort for Paul from the love of his brother in Christ, and that others were being refreshed through him. No one lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. Our actions affect others. Our actions affect others. Again, C.S. Lewis said, die before you die. There's no chance after. Die before you die. There's no chance answer after. It's interesting, we cannot measure the range of our influence in the world. We cannot measure the range of our influence in the world. Paul actually gets now to really the heart of the letter in verse 8. And we'll read some of these verses together. And actually, I'll probably read from verse 8 through verse 16. He says, accordingly, though, I am bold enough in Christ to command you what command you to do what is required. I'll stop right there. Why would Paul be bold enough and have the ability to command Philemon to do something? He is an apostle of Christ. The apostles had a special ministry. They had a special authority in biblical times. And Paul recognizes that, and he makes sure that Philemon understands that he could command him to do what is required. But listen to Paul as he reaches out to Philemon. He says, but yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I prefer to appeal to you. He says, I won't command it to you. He says, I appeal to you because for love's sake, I want it to be your decision, is what he's talking about. And we'll see that as we walk through the scripture. He says, I, Paul, he says, an old man and now a prisoner for Christ Jesus. I was interested to know how old Paul was maybe at this time. So I did a little research and digging. There's really no set age, but he could have been into his late 50s, early 60s. And it's interesting, he called himself old. That's about my age, and I'm not considering myself old yet. So I was interested in why he would call himself old. And there could be, reasons here that Paul's life was a pretty hard life, a rough life. And maybe he felt old because of the ministry itself and all the things that he had went through. But he appeals to Philemon. He says, I am old and now a prisoner for Jesus Christ, or for Christ Jesus. He goes on in verse 10, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to me, or to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. He says, I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer a slave, but more than just a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in flesh and in the Lord. So, as you read those verses, I have to go back, and I said, Paul, he comes to the main purpose of the letter, and it's a plead with Philemon on behalf of Onesimus, a runaway slave. As an apostle, he could justifiably say to Philemon, it's your duty as a believer, it's your duty as a believer to forgive and restore this runaway slave. I have to stop and think about situations in my own life. I know that God calls upon me to forgive of offenses in my life. And I fight with that because of my personality. But God has that authority over me. But he never pushes that authority. But what he does is he softens my heart. And he gets me to come around to a place in my life where it's by my own accord that I do so, not by knowing that he wants me to. He softens me and brings me to that point. And that is really how Paul is approaching Philemon. He says, I could command it from you. He says, as a believer, it's your duty to forgive and to restore this runaway. But Paul did not. Paul could have ordered him to do it. And Philemon probably would have, no doubt, have obeyed. But that would have been a hollow victory, a victory that really wouldn't count for much. Paul would waive his authority in this letter and choose to entreat Philemon for love's sake, for love's sake. I think Scripture says that love will cover a multitude of sins. I believe that love in our lives, the love of Jesus Christ and how he works through our lives, is he teaches us to love. Paul reaches out to Philemon, really based on God's love in his life. And for love's sake, he says, I entreat you, Philemon, for love's sake. Paul's intercession for Onesimus is an illustration, really an illustration, of what Christ has done for us on the cross. Really an illustration of what Christ has done for us. Paul also urges that he is, or argues that he is aged and a prisoner. Would Philemon's love really reach across the sea to an aged ambassador of Jesus Christ in prison? He was not really looking for sympathy. Really, what he did hope is that Philemon would weigh these factors in making his decision. Verses 10 and 11, again, he says, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus. It's interesting when you look at these two verses and you look at an original text. The original of this verse, the name Onesimus comes last. Now, you gotta stay with me, and I've got a little bit of a country way about me, a little bit of a, Dixie says, a little bit of an oaky way of looking at things. But you have to understand that Paul is speaking about Onesimus. Paul is speaking to Philemon about a person. He has not introduced who this person was at this point at all. And in the old texts, it really probably could read like this, I appeal to you concerning a son of mine, whom I have begotten while in my chains. And then speaks the name Onesimus. We talked about this in Sunday school class this morning. Can you imagine Philemon reading a letter written by Paul and possibly by Timothy together, a personal letter to him, reaching out to him about a brother in Christ, a slave. He does not know who it is. And then all of a sudden he drops the name Onesimus. A runaway slave. He's a slave owner. He ran away from him. He left his home. He left everything he had and ran away from this man. I can think about how I would probably react. I would probably say, you know, that scoundrel, here he is. He's in Paul's presence now. And Paul is writing about him and he's calling him a brother. I have to forgive him? Are you kidding me? He harmed me. He did wrong. All kinds of things could be going through Philemon's head right now. But all of a sudden, Paul drops the name Onesimus. Really, I wrote down, by the time Philemon reached the name of his slave, he was completely disarmed. See, as Paul wrote the letter, he really disarmed Philemon for any other reaction, but a loving reaction, truly, as a brother in Christ. Paul reached out to him in a manner that helped him, through the power of the Spirit in his life, come to a place where he was softened and ready to look at forgiveness and reconciliation with this man. Can you imagine, as I wrote, the surprise when he learned it was Onesimus, his slave? His slave was the converted one. And even more surprising, that he had been led to Christ through Paul, the prisoner, master and slave. Were both born again through the same preacher, both in widely separate places and under different circumstances. What a coincidence, huh? Coincidence? No. God at work in the lives of people. As Paul interceded for the slave, so Christ intercedes for us, slaves to sin. Slaves to sin. The name Onesimus means profitable. When he was a runaway, he was useless to Philemon. I think about my own Christian life. Before I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I was a slave to sin and I was useless to the Lord Jesus Christ. I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I changed and started to change my life. And I became useful to God. In His way, in His timing, He's growing me, He's changed me, and He's still going to continue to grow me and change me. And hopefully I am useful to His ministry here on earth. And that's what happened to Onesimus. He actually became profitable, a runaway. He was useless to Philemon. He was useless, but now he is useful. To you, he says, Paul, to you and to me, He's useful to both of us. He's returning a better slave, really is what Paul said here. He says he's returning a better slave. It has been said that in the New Testament time, Christian slaves commanded a higher price on the market than others. Here, Paul does not condemn slavery or prohibit it. What he is saying is that Onesimus had wronged his master, had run away from him, and has lived as if he were his own and not his. Yet as God covers the sins of men, forgives, and does not upbraid, so should men. And that's really the message Paul is trying to get across to Philemon. Forgive this man. He's coming back to you a slave, but more than that, he's coming back to you a brother in Christ. And he says, yet God covers the sins of men. We should forgive others. To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you and I. So again, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in us. Verse 12, he says, I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart. My very heart. I think there's a real strength, a real power in what Paul says here. He says, I'm sending back your slave. But he says, I'm not just sending him back a slave, I'm sending him back a brother. And I want you to know I'm sending my heart with him. What does that say to you and I? If somebody says, I'm sending my heart along with this person, that has a powerful impact to me in my life. He says, I'm sending him back to you, but I'm not just sending him by himself. I'm sending my very heart with him. I'm sending him back to you. Onesimus, he knew, was Philemon's servant. And therefore, without his consent, not to be detained from him. Paul is not to detain him. He is Philemon's servant, Philemon's slave. In his unconverted state, he had violated that right, Onesimus did, and withdrew himself to his master's injury. But now that he had seen his sin and repented, he was willing and desirous to return to his duty. Willing and desirous to return to his duty. Paul would have been glad to keep Onesimus with him in Rome. There were many things that he could have done for Paul while he was in prison. But Paul would not force a kindness from Philemon. He would do nothing in connection with Onesimus without Philemon's consent. Paul suggests to Philemon that maybe the reason that Onesimus had parted was so that he could have him back forever, no longer a slave, but as a beloved brother, especially to Paul, but all the more to him. It's interesting, a mark of spiritual maturity is able to look beyond the adverse circumstances of the moment and see God working through all things together for good for those who love him. Romans 8:28. See, this slave being sent back to his master is no longer just a slave. And Fran brought it out very beautifully today. I'm sending him back a brother in Christ first, your slave second. He is a brother in Christ first, a slave second. So it's interesting how Paul has put this together. As Onesimus, I knew that I'd start to stumble on that word saying it too many times. Onesimus was reconciled to Philemon, so we are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. There's a message here that is so powerful and so strong in so short of an area that we can miss it in our lives. But as Onesimus, the slave, was reconciled to Philemon, so we are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. I'm going to read on here in verse 17. So he says to Philemon, so if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. It's interesting. Paul's request is startling, both in its boldness and in its tenderness. He asked Philemon to receive Onesimus as he would receive Paul himself, as Paul himself. That puts a great emphasis on the relationship that Paul has with this slave himself. And he says, you know, he says, again, I'll read exactly what it says. So if you consider me your partner in Christ, your brother in Christ, he says, receive him, your slave, as you would receive me, your partner. That's pretty powerful words that he uses as he reaches out for this relationship between Philemon and Onesimus. Jesus said, he who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Matthew 10:40, Jesus again says, he who receives you receives me. Paul just said, receive this man as if you were receiving me. And Jesus says, he who receives me, Jesus Christ, and he who receives me receives him, the Father, who sent me. Pretty powerful words as Philemon uses that as he writes this letter. Then in verse 18, he says, if he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge it to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand, and I will repay it, to say nothing of owing me even your own life. Paul uses a lot of words in here. Paul doesn't just say that Onesimus had stolen anything, but the verses suggest such a possibility. The conversion of Onesimus did not cancel his debt to man. So Paul tells Philemon to put that on his account. As Paul offered to pay the debts of a slave, so Christ paid our debts of sin. Christ paid our debts of sin. All was charged to the account of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. He paid the debt in full when he died as our substitute. We're reminded of Christ's ministry as our advocate when Satan, the accuser of the brethren, brings charges against us for wrongs we have done. Jesus says, in effect, charge that to my account. Philemon, Paul, charge it to my account. If he's wronged you in any way, charge it to me. Charge it to me. It's interesting, if he owes you anything, charge it to me. He says, I, Paul, write this with my own hand, and I will repay it. Paul makes a real emphasis here that I want you to understand. I didn't dictate this letter to somebody. This is not from my notes. This is me actually penning these particular words. I am writing this with my own hand. He says, I want you to understand. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. And I will repay, he says, to say nothing of your owing even me, your own self. Why would he say that? Some believe that it's pretty much understood that Philemon came to know the Lord Jesus Christ through the ministry of Paul. And Paul is reminding him that, you know, through that ministry, you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I want to see something from you. And he reminds him of him owing even his own self, his own life in Jesus Christ. It's interesting, the doctrine of reconciliation is illustrated in this book. Onesimus had been estranged from Philemon because of wrongdoing. Through the ministry of Paul, the distance and enmity were removed. We should have every reason to believe that it was removed. So the slave was reconciled to his master. So we were estranged from God because of our sin. But through the death and resurrection of Christ, the cause of enmity has been removed and believers are reconciled to God. Like Onesimus, we must return to our God, our Master, and serve Him. It's interesting as I read through the rest of this here. He says, yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart. He says in verse 21, confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. You know, he really says to Philemon, I'm confident that you will do the right thing. You will do it from your heart. In fact, I'm even confident that you will even do more than what I ask. At the same time, prepare, he says, a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers I will be graciously given to you. I looked to see what time this letter was written about, and they say Paul possibly was released from prison, this imprisonment, this time, shortly after this letter was written. We don't know if he was brought together with Philemon. We don't know anything about that, but he prays that he would be released and that they would come together. And then we have the final greeting. And he speaks of many Christian men and women in this, brings Luke, fellow workers, all of them in Jesus Christ. So as I come to the end of what I have here this morning, I want us to remember that we're going to come before, and I think the worship team, if they want to come up, you're going to get out early today. They can come up as I share this. As we come for the Lord's table, we do so in the remembrance of Jesus Christ and what he did for us, the body and blood of Christ. We have died to self and are alive in Christ. Again, C.S. Lewis said, he died not for men, but for each man. I'm going to read that one more time. He died not for men, but for each man. If each man had been the only man made, he would have done no less. See, Christ died for you and for I. And it didn't matter if we were the only soul on earth. He would have went to the cross anyway. He would have went to the cross for you, for me, if that's all was here. He would have done no less. Remember the rich, the poor, the male, the female, the master and the slave. All members of God's family, all priests, as Paul put it when he has called us priests in Scripture before, members of God's family. And when we come together at the Lord's Supper, we are all on the common level of holy priests in our lives. Let us remember what the cross signifies in our life: his death, his resurrection. So we can have life eternal with him and the Father. See, we come together as a church family, partaking in a supper to remember him, to remember the cross. This morning, as we come together again, let us come together as a family united in Jesus Christ. Let us come together with the knowledge of Jesus Christ and how he works in our life. And let us take this small little letter and let us bury it deep in our lives and learn from Philemon and the letter to Paul wrote about forgiveness and about reconciliation in our Christian lives. And that's it. I'd like to pray, and then music team can have it. Father, again, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time. And, oh, Lord, again, I think of this short letter. And, Lord, what a powerful message you have in this letter as we look at it. So, Father, I pray that honor and glory was brought to you. And, Lord, we just look forward to song and communion together as we close out today. In your name, amen.